This is the greatest hour to follow Jesus.
I want to preach today about the cost of following Jesus. And I feel like I am not qualified to teach on this because I have so far, I don't know why I'm crying already, but saying it gets ya. I don't feel like I'm qualified to talk on this subject. I know that I have so far to go, but it's honestly a cry of my heart. It's something I yearn for more all the time, just to know him more and to follow him with more commitment and faithfulness and to not give up. Because look, I mean, you'd have to be blind to say times are not hard right now, right? They're hard, and people are falling away so at a rapid pace, and it breaks my heart. It should break yours, right? It breaks my heart just to see the compromise and all these things that are happening. And again, it could be any of us. You know this, right? Like, for us to ever feel like we are above anything. If King David fell, so can you outside of Jesus, okay? Let me just be really clear with that, how we need him. He's the only thing that we have that keeps us from turning away, that he's the one that keeps us from turning our back away from him. He's the one that keeps us from falling into sin. It's Jesus. You know this. Yeah, it's Jesus. And the foundation of the word has to be the foundation of your life. I've been teaching in school and really everywhere I've been going to preach lately, I've been teaching about just the power of the word, because that is the foundation of who we are, and it's all about Jesus. The word is about him, from Genesis to Revelation. It's all him and how we need him. And I think what happens sometimes is people don't understand the cost of following Jesus. They don't understand. And that's why they get into it for the things that they think they care about that don't really matter at all. They get in it for the stuff, or because maybe they get hyped up, or they hear a watered-down gospel that's not the gospel at all. And they jump in, and then times get hard and things get rough. And what do? They leave Jesus. And it breaks my heart to see that. And I just felt, I was studying the word for myself, and I was going to teach on something else, which typically happens to me a lot. I'll prepare something, and I'll just start digging in the scriptures, and I'm getting blessed, and I'll just start writing, and I really feel like this is what God is saying right now in this hour. He's asking us to come and follow him and to forsake all and give him everything and not turn back and never turn away, and he never promised that it's going to be easy. He never promised that. He promised the opposite. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be storms. Remember, he was in the storm, but he brought peace to it. The storm didn't go away. You know, when they were in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were still in the fire, but the Lord was right there with them. And when they came out, the Bible says they didn't even smell of smoke. Their clothes weren't burned, which means that it didn't touch them. You understand? So he's faithful, and the only way that we're going to all be able to walk this Christian life with him with fullness of heart, total surrender is by deeply loving him. Only when you're in love can you not fall out of love. Do you know what I mean? If you're married, you go, amen. You know, only when you're in love do you not want to forsake your spouse or cheat on them or turn the other way to something that seems more exciting to you at the time. It's love that does this to us, right? And we need to be burning with first love right now for Jesus more than ever. This is what we need. This is what our heart is crying out for. And so this is what I pray the Holy Spirit will use my words. And again, I don't have it figured out. I'm not perfect, but this is what I am aspiring to be. I want to know him more. I want to know every part of him. I want to know him as the lion and the lamb. I want to know him above all. I want to know him in his victories and in his suffering. I want to know all of him, every part. That's what I want. And I feel like that needs to be the cry of our heart right now as a church. And I pray that God will just embark that on our hearts like never before. first love that will burn. You know, only dead wood burns. You know, if you have a little bit of self in you, you can't burn for in love with Jesus. You have to die, you know? You have to die like Catherine and Corrie ten Boom and my dad and all these people before used to always preach on death to self. And man, how we need to hear these messages right now in this hour. You have to die to your own needs and take up your cross, lay down your needs and take up the cross of Jesus and follow him all the days of your life. He's so good and so worth it. The reward is so much greater than the cost, honestly. It doesn't even feel fair. The reward's so much greater than the cost. But let's go to Luke 14, 25 through 30. And then I'm going to also read 33. It says, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. See, a lot of times people get confused, like, what? That's so mean of Jesus. No, he's saying he has to be above all. Nothing can come above Jesus. Not even your own life can become above him. You can't love anyone more than you love Jesus. He's all in all. That's what he's meaning when he says these things. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? I know that feeling. Yes, yes. Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. Then they would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. See, if you follow Jesus simply for what you can get out of Jesus and you are not willing to forsake all for Jesus, you are not counting the cost. You're just not counting the cost. We didn't get into this Christian life for ourselves, even though he's so good and he blesses his children. We know this. But this is about him, you know. It's about him ministering the gospel, being trusted when the pulpit is not for you to become a Christian celebrity. It's about you forsaking all your desires, laying down your talents, laying down your giftings, laying down your needs, your self-wants, and exalting him. That's what it means to follow Jesus and be a disciple of Jesus. It's not about you. It's about him. Jesus is too holy to devalue who he is. He is above all. Jesus then goes on to say, what good is salt that loses its flavor? Let's go to Luke 14, 34 through 35. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anytime I see that in the Bible, I go back and read that scripture because I'm like, okay, Jesus is saying, listen, I need to listen. It's no good. You cannot make it salty again. Do you understand that? Basically saying, don't start off following Jesus and then change your mind. What good is that? What good is it if you don't count the cost, you follow the Lord, and then you turn and forsake him and you stop following him? What good is that? It's like salt that loses its flavor. You cannot get it back again. Now, of course, there's repentance and you can come back to Jesus. But if you follow him only for a season and then when times get tough, you turn your back on him because you can't handle the persecution, well, what good is that? What is that going to do for anybody? What is it going to do? I mean, that's not loving the Lord with all of your heart, right? That's why Jesus uses these comparisons in the Bible so we can understand. It's useless. It would be like salt that has lost its flavor. It's no good anymore, and there's no use for it. Have you ever had salt that lost its flavor? No, I haven't either. It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be good mashed potato. You like that, Jenna? It wouldn't be good. I was just thinking of that. I'm like, actually, I've never done that. But it's pointless. It's you're putting something on that has not going to do a thing for it. So if you get in this walk with Jesus and you want to produce fruit, of course, we know you have to stay connected to him. He is the vine. But if you want to produce fruit, you will not be able to produce fruit for him outside of him. I don't care how qualified you are, how gifted you are, how anointed you might think you are, outside of Jesus, there is no fruit that is produced in your life. For any one of us, how we need Jesus. Any one of us could have this happen, like I just said to us, if you don't cling to Jesus. Please understand me when I say that. I could lose everything. Michael and I could lose everything if we don't cling to Jesus. We're not that good. Do you understand what I mean? Like, we're outside of Jesus. What do we even have to say? You know, every time I get up to minister, I ask the Holy Spirit to please be with me, because I'm like, if I don't have you, I don't care how great my sermon notes might be. Outside of you, I have nothing good to give. I have nothing to say. I have no business being on the pulpit without you, Jesus. We cling to him. He's the only one that makes us different. You understand? We're different with Jesus. If you don't know that, look at your family when they're on the stage. You know what I mean? Like, yes, we can't live different lives in sin. I'm not talking about that, but there's something that happens when you come in Jesus and you start producing fruit in him. Outside of him, no fruit can ever be produced. Not good fruit anyway. It's all in Jesus. Let's go to Mark 8:34-36. Then calling the crowd to join in, to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Again, if you're holding on to your life, you're going to lose it. You guys know my story. I'm not going to get into it. Maybe the morning service doesn't know it. But, you know, I was totally away from Jesus for a long time. All my childhood, pretty much, from the moment I got in high school, college, ran away from the Lord. Found him, ran away again. You know, when I say run away, not living in sin like I did in college, obviously, but stopped seeking him. And I was so desperate at that time for all the wrong things. I wanted the stuff, to be really honest. I wanted the things. I wanted God to use me. I wanted God to use me. I believed that God had big things for me. And I would say things in my heart like, God, you said this over me when I was a kid, but I don't see it playing out yet. Or I got this prophetic word years ago, but why is it not happening? I wasn't living fully for him. You understand? I was living for myself. I wasn't clinging to Jesus. I wasn't clinging to the cross. I promise you, the moment that I let all that die in me, when that stuff didn't even matter to me anymore, and it was a process, it was a death to self, dying process every day, that stuff just eventually went away. When it got to that point where I was like, Jesus, it's you. You're really all that I need. It's not the stuff. It's not recognition. It's not favor. None of that matters. You're the only one that matters to me, Jesus. The moment that flesh in me, because that's what it was flesh. We all have that side of us that wants to be known and seen and be validated. But when that dies, and when he really is the one that's exalted, that's when the Lord can trust you. You know, that's when he goes, okay, you're someone now that I can trust. I will raise you up and use you. But you don't get in it for that. You know, you get in it for Jesus, and he's looking for people that he can trust. He's looking for people that he can trust with every side of him. Every side. He's looking for friends, as I've taught on this before. He's looking for faithful friends. And I share this passage a lot, but it's one of my favorite. Remember when he healed the blind man? And the Pharisees were mocking him and saying that he was possessed by the devil and all these things. And he healed the man. Remember what Jesus did? This shows you the love of Jesus and humility of Jesus, by the way. He ran after that guy, remember, and he said, who do you know who I am? He revealed himself to the man that he just healed. Only Jesus does that, because again, it's not about what he can do for you. It's about, do you know him? Do you know him? If you don't know him outside of what he does for you, then you don't really know him. He's not, I don't say this to be funny, he's not Santa Claus. He's not going to just come into your life. Michael would laugh and say he's Santa. He tells the staffs that sometimes. He goes, I'm Santa. We're like, no, and I don't even know why he says that. Maybe edit that part out later. But it's like this funny little joke when he's like, I'm Santa. I don't know why. It's not funny, but we all laugh sometimes. But that's not Jesus. Like, he's not, we just don't get what we want when we want it. You know, understand? Like, he's so above that, so majestic, so beautiful, that to know him is to really know him and to know every side of him, right? That means when people reject you because you're sharing the gospel, or that means when people don't want anything to do with you, or your family mocks you or makes fun of you because you're following Jesus, it doesn't matter because you have him and he is all that you need. I've met people that say, Jesus isn't everything. How come you preach Jesus is everything? I'm like, what do you mean? If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. What is above him? What's above him? I think of sweet brother Yoon and people like that. I'm like, though he was everything to Paul when Paul was in prison. He was everything to brother Yoon when brother Yoon was in chains. Jesus is everything. He's all that you need. He is more than enough. And when you find contentment in him, you really do have everything. You have everything. And the cost seems so small in comparison to the reward that you get in knowing him intimately and deeply. He's so good. I honestly would never want to live a day without Jesus. I can't not cry when I say that, because I remember how lost I was before and how broken I was and how I played the part for so many years, but I was dead inside and didn't have Jesus, and how merciful and loving he was and how he loved with no conditions. And I don't know anyone that loves like that. I don't know anyone that loves you unconditionally like Jesus loves us. He's so, so faithful. And looking back, you know, at the time when I was living in the world and out the world or whatever, I remember thinking, I can't give this up. And I talk to many people sometimes about salvation, and they'll say things like, oh, I just can't give up partying, or I just like my life too much, and it breaks my heart, because I'm like, you don't know how good he is. You don't know. You're afraid to give up your life. That's, again, not counting the cost or not giving up things that you should for Jesus. But I'm like, oh, he's so much better than that. I know. I've tasted everything. I tasted the world. It's disgusting. It has nothing good in it. Nothing. It's just temporary medication. You know what I mean? It just medicates you for a moment. It just might numb the pain for a moment, but then again, you're empty inside. And Jesus is the only one that can take that broken heart, that void in your life, and fill it all the way to the top, where you don't even have any more room for anything else, because he's that good. He's that good. I am living proof of that. He is so good. And he's wanting a church that will lay it all down and follow him. If anyone deserves that in your life, isn't it Jesus? Isn't it Jesus? He's so beautiful. He is so beautiful, so majestic, so holy. He is so good. And man, the only thing I think about now is, man, I wish I had those years with Jesus. You know, and I've been saying a lot, he's redeeming the time, because I've been hearing that word in my spirit so much lately. Because, you know, he's so good, he redeems the lost time. And he makes up more with you in a moment than you lost in that season. Do you understand what I mean by that? Like, he will do more in a moment. You don't even have to look back and go, oh, all those years wasted. In my heart, I go, oh, I'm going to go even harder. I'm going to tell more people about you. I'm going to love you more. I'm going to redeem that time, those years, those lost, wasted years. And Jesus is so faithful that he can do more with you in a moment than you can try in a lifetime. In a moment. Let's go to Philippians 3, 4 through 9. And I'm just reading part of 9. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, this is Paul speaking, if others have reason for confidence in their own effort, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. 8 years old would be pretty bad. 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. So remember, Paul was having to explain to people who his authority and who he was. A real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought, listen to this, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. These are Paul's words. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, because that's what it is. It's garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Again, he is all that you need. He is all that you need. He is more than enough. He is the air that you breathe. All your works are really garbage in comparison to what Jesus is to you. And that's what Paul is saying. He's like, if you want to talk about the law, I studied it. I persecuted Christians. I'm a Hebrew. I've done all those things, all the works, you know, all the things according to the law that were works. He's like saying, if you don't find Jesus, none of that even matters because it's all about him. Now, Paul is looking at his life, as we all should all the time, and see what's worth it. None of the stuff is even worth it. Michael called me last night. I don't know if Ryan called you, Carla. They're together in Jacksonville, and our dear friend Brian Brent, you know, who's over the Circuit Riders, as Michael told you, went home to be with the Lord recently. And Michael called me just very shaken up, to be really honest with you. And he was watching Brian's memorial online with Ryan when they were driving in the car to Jacksonville. And he said, babe, you know, hearing the way that his kids talked about him, his wife, the way he loved Jesus, makes me realize all these little things that we worry about all the time, the things that we try to achieve in life, none of that stuff matters. He's like, all they talked about was his love for Jesus and the way that he loved others and his family, right? No, that's what the Bible says, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then again, love others. Sometimes all these things get in the way of what really, really matters in life. Like amazing Brian, who was such a man of God, at the end of his life, what were people talking about? Not his accomplishments, and he accomplished much. He was part of the Sinned Circuit Riders. Lindy comes out of Circuit Riders. I mean, he's done so much works, but it was his love for Jesus and love for others that people were talking about yesterday. It shook Michael, and he said, babe, let's just love each other more. Let's love each other more. Let's love our children more. Let's love others more. And let's love Jesus more. That's all that matters. That's all that matters in the end. And it's, you know, these things are sobering. And that's when you hear Paul talk this way, who's seen it all. He's seen it all. He's saying none of these things matter, but Jesus, it's all a waste of time. So when you have him, even though there's a cost, you don't even care because you get him. You get him. He never promised, as I said earlier, that you wouldn't go through trials, but he promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He is the peace in the storm. Catherine Kuhlman used to say all the time, I watch her old videos, he's all that I got. She used to say that all the time, he's all that I got. And you think of a woman that accomplished so much. I mean, we're still, our life, my life has personally been impacted. I mean, my dad was saved at her meetings. But when someone like that, it comes dwindled down to what is it about in her life. She's saying, it's Jesus, he's all that I have. He's all that I have. He's more than enough. None of these other things just matter. They're temporary. I promise you that. They're temporary. Let's go to Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Listen to this. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. See, to know Jesus, it means to know all of him. Like I said earlier, the lion and the lamb. He is the king and the shepherd. It's all of him. You have to want all of him, not just the part, just not the part that is victorious and all these things. You know how it breaks my heart sometimes where I see people pray and contend and I don't even hear Jesus. This is no judgment. I pray this is coming across in love because I mean this, because I used to do that stuff too. And now when I pray, it's just Jesus. It's just dwindled down to all that stuff because you don't need to strive in him. You don't have to contend. Yes, we need to ask and you will receive, but he's just so beautiful that sometimes when you get to be with him in prayer, you forget you're even praying because you don't even have any words to say at that point because you're just so aware of his nearness. And that's all that matters in those moments. That's all that matters. Stay over here. It's okay. Just drop the camera thing. It's fine. You must be a first year. I'm joking. But I love our first year students. They are the best. It was a joke and I'm sarcastic sometimes. But he is all that you need. He is above all. He is the, like I said earlier, the air that you breathe. I pray that you would get out of the way. You know what I mean when I say that? Get out of the way. Sometimes we get in the way of what God is wanting to do, and really what he's wanting to do is strip you down to just you and him, to prune you and purify. And that's what I was going to speak on, I thought earlier, was purity, and I'll probably will another time. But yeah, he's refining the bride right now. He's refining the church. He's refining us. He's stripping all those things that we've put, those monumental things, those idols really that we've built in our life. He's stripping it away. He's simplifying us so when all you see when you look at us is Jesus. I don't want you to see anything when you look at me but Jesus. I really don't. I want you to see Jesus, and I have a far way to go, but again, that's what I'm going after. I just want to look like Jesus. I don't want to look like this person or this person or this person. I want to just look like Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know every side of him. Like, I want to know the suffering side. And yes, people go, oh, he doesn't suffer, but the Bible says that he changes not. So if he wept for Jerusalem, then don't you think he weeps today when his children turn away from him? Don't you think he weeps today when cities and nations completely reject him? Of course, he's Jesus. He loves us. He loves his children. I want to know all of him, right? If you have a deep relationship with someone, it's not deep unless they really know the real you, right? If it's surface, it's only going to stay surface. It can never go deeper if they really don't know the ins and outs, your struggles, your heart. And Jesus doesn't struggle, but I'm talking about us. Your struggle, your needs, the desires of your heart. When you are crying or when you're happy, you want them to know all of you, right? Well, how much more should we know Jesus this way? How much more should we let him into our life to know for him to be known by him in this way? Do you understand? He knows us, but sometimes we play the part even with the Lord, and we think we're fooling him, and we're not fooling him. He knows every bit. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strength. But this is how I want to know Jesus. You understand? I want to let all things go. The cost, who cares? Who cares? You got to die to that a long time ago. You know, our friend David Papavisi, and you know, he's in Iraq with his family. They moved from Chicago, suburbia, to go live in Iraq and to preach the gospel. And I remember before he went, we grabbed him and even my dad were like, are you sure? You understand the cost? You understand what you're signing up for? And I'll never forget what he said. And his children, by the way, said this to us as well. Children, little children. He go, oh, I signed that check a long time ago. You know, basically I counted the cost. I knew what I was getting into and I am dead to that stuff. I am completely dead to those desires that died in him. Do you understand? That's why he's producing so much fruit there. God is using him because he died to his needs. It's beautiful. We all want to know him as the resurrected king, of course, but like Paul said, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. That's meaning if I die for Jesus, I die for Jesus. If I live for Jesus, I live for Jesus, but I've died to all of my needs. I want to know him. Whatever the cost to follow Jesus, you are willing to pay the price. When Michael, this is not even a comparison, but when Michael wrote the Jesus book, remember that I'm sure most of you have read the Jesus book. He started talking about the sufferings of Jesus. And I remember he came to me and he said, babe, he said, if I write about the sufferings of Jesus and the betrayal. Do you think I'm signing up for that? And I laughed and I said, oh yeah, you're totally signing up. You can't talk about that side of Jesus and never experience what it means to be betrayed or suffer. Again, but was it worth it? Of course it was. Have we walked through things? Of course. But I feel like it makes us more like Jesus. Do you understand what I mean? I remember a few years ago, someone who I love deeply talked so mean about me and called me a joke and my testimony a joke and all these things. It hurt me deeply. And I remember crying and I was just broken inside. And I remember my husband came and sat on the couch next to me, said, babe, it's going to be okay. I'm like, that hurts so deeply. And he goes, you have every right to feel hurt, but don't stay there, which is important. He goes, but you can also let this be an invitation to know a side of Jesus that you didn't yet know, Jess. I'll never forget that. Because everything we go through, you find Jesus in it. If you are suffering, well, guess what? He suffered. If you feel rejected, guess what? Jesus was rejected beyond what you'll ever experience. If you feel betrayed, Jesus was betrayed by his closest friends. If you feel unknown or unseen, Jesus understands. He's the only one that understands that every need of your heart, every desire, Jesus really gets you. I mean, he truly, truly gets you. And he wants to comfort you and he wants to be there for you, but you have to allow him to come in. I'm going to close in a moment with these scriptures. I say in a moment, that's like 10 minutes. Let's go to Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We do not live for this world. We live for another day. We live for another day. Let's go to Philippians 3:20. We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Again, this is only temporary. Us here is temporary. We live for another day. We are citizens of heaven, not of this world. And that's what Paul understood. He didn't worry about, and you have to understand, he wrote most of the New Testament that he wrote, he was in chains. He was in prison, but this is what he was writing. He was saying, I don't live for today. Yeah, maybe now I'm suffering. Maybe I'm in chains right now. Maybe I'm alone right now, but I don't live for this. I press on to the day that I will be with Jesus. I let all these things die in me. I don't live for myself. I live for him and him alone. Paul got that, and how I want to get that too. I want to deeply understand that. And then Paul says, listen to this. I feel like this is for us. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. And that is what we need to hear right now in this hour. If you're talking to someone that feels discouraged or you feel discouraged, stay true to the Lord. Stay true. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jesus is faithful. Stay true. Don't let anyone or anything take you away from loving Jesus with all of your heart. Stay true to the Lord. At the end of his letter to the Colossians church, he said, remember my chains. Remember my chains. His chains. His love for Jesus was so deep, not even chains could stop him preaching the good news and loving others. Remember, as he was preaching the good news, why did he say, remember my chains? Because I feel like he was saying, yes, I'm in chains, but my love for Jesus speaks louder than my circumstances right now. Remember those things. Remember what God has done. Remember that he's above all. Those chains didn't stop Paul. Remember when they were worshiping in the prison in the New Testament and the chains were broken, but not only their chains were broken, but the chains of others fell off as they worshiped the Lord. Let's go to Colossians 1, 24 through 26. I know I have a lot of scripture today, but it's the Bible and we love it. Thank you. Colossians 1, 24 through 26. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the suffering of Christ that continue for his body, the church. See, yes, he's still suffering for the church right now and how the church needs Jesus. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. You might say, how do you stay faithful and not give up? Stay in love. That is the only way. Live with heaven in mind. Let's go to Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since you have been raised, sorry, I'm not even giving you guys a chance to look, but it's on the screen. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth, for you die to this life. Say that, I die to this life. You're dead to this life. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Back to people like Heidi, Brother Yoon, all these amazing people, of course, the apostles, but people that we currently know now, why are they still going? Well, number one, they love Jesus with all of their heart. They have not lost their first love. Number two, they counted the cost. They knew what they were signing up for. That's why they can go through trials and they can be in different countries and they could just give up everything for Jesus and they're still victorious and smiling when they do it. Have you ever met anyone who looks like Heidi and Brother Yoon? I mean, there's few people that their eyes shine like that. Well, they died to themselves a long time ago. All that stuff died in them. They truly have surrendered all for Jesus. And that's why they're still going all this time. When you meet ministers, they're still going all these years, 40 years, 50 years. There is one secret, I promise you, because I knew them all and I've asked them these questions over and over. Why are you still doing through all the trials and persecutions, all the costs that it was for you and your family? Why are you still going? How come? They stayed in love with Jesus. They stayed burning and they counted the cost and they made up their mind a long time ago that no matter what, they were not leaving Jesus, that nothing was worth that, that no, the devil could not stop them with persecution, with trials, no matter what came their way, because we all go through that. As a Christian, you're going to go through trials and persecution. The Bible promises it. Jesus said, you will go through these things as my followers. But guess what? With him, we get through it, and he's so, so worth it.
To get daily teaching from Michael and to follow our event schedule around the world, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to the Jesus Image TV YouTube channel as well. By partnering with Jesus Image, you will help us take the saving and healing power of Jesus to the world. Your giving changes lives forever. For more information, please visit us online at jesusimage.tv or write us at Jesus Image, P.O. Box 950-640, Lake Mary, Florida 32795. Thank you for your prayers and financial support. Jesus is the answer for every life, everywhere.